Good afternoon, everyone. You've got some little pieces of paper in front of you. If you haven't got one, if you want to grab one now, here, you've got three little pictures on it. Some of the tables behind you, so there should be enough for everyone. If not, there's some in the little green folder at the back of the room. This is going to be more like a kind of guided conversation rather than a straightforward preach. So I'm going to be encouraging you to participate a little bit at the end of some of my talking. Does that make sense so far? And as I finish talking, what I'm going to ask you to do is just to kind of pause and to think. Not to worry, it's not going to be a group exercise. It's going to be something that you're going to be doing individually and asking you to write down your own thoughts. I'm not going to give you anything to put down or write. It'll be purely what you feel, either God speaking to you, the Spirit, or your own thoughts, whatever it is, to just jot them down. But as we get to it, the first part of the talk, I'll ask you to fill in something around the head, about what you're thinking about some of the things I've said, what you think about some of the things I've said. The next element is we'll pause and we'll talk about the heart. What's going on in your heart as I'm talking? Are things being stirred up? Are you being encouraged in a way? Are you being convicted? I don't want anybody here to feel condemned. That's not what we're about here at The Journey. So if you feel that, just reject that straight away. But if you do feel that your heart's been stirred in a way, just pop some thoughts around the heart. And the last one is about the hands. And I'll explain a little bit more about that. But so there'll be three opportunities just to participate individually for yourself. Now, if you wish, you can keep these for yourself. You can destroy them. But another option is if you've got some thoughts that I'd be happy to take them, so anonymize them, and I'd be happy to take them away and have a look, because I'd just be interested to explore some of the things that have been stirred up in you. So if you're happy with that, I would just ask you to leave them here, and I'll take them away, and we might explore them as a church leadership. All make sense so far? Good. I will try and finish as near to 1:45 as possible. Might finish a little bit earlier. It might finish just a shade over that, but please feel free to leave or do whatever you have to at 1:45. So the journey values inclusivity, and this is the statement. Just listen as carefully as you can to this. Our value around inclusivity is stated thus. We welcome all and accept all, wherever they are at on their journey, and create space to just be. We believe that relationship allows us grace to work through the tough questions and challenges of life together. And the verse that goes with that is Romans 15:7. So warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be honored. This value is a very challenging value to work out in practice. Or am I the only person that thinks that? Inclusivity. I wish I had a penny for every time I heard this statement that kind of goes along like, if Jesus were alive today, he would be inclusive. And I agree with that, but I don't think inclusion was a problem for Jesus. Inclusion is a problem for us, you know. We are the ones that make decisions or set up parameters or boundaries or make judgments or have opinions about who's in or who's out, because that's effectively what it boils down to in some respects. We make judgments and then we decide through how we want to set up the rules of how we have community that we realize that in doing so, either consciously or subconsciously, we can exclude people. And the heart of this value for the journey is that we don't do that in any way, shape or form. That somehow in our being, everybody's welcome. So the moment somebody walks through that door, they feel in. Does that make sense? If you don't feel like, you better go out and I'm only joking. No. You feel in as soon as you walk in. And one of the things about feeling welcome is that as soon as somebody walks through these doors, and I used to belong to a big church in the Midlands, and somebody said the most difficult journey was from the front door to the back row. And if you've ever belonged to a big church, when we had about 600 or 700 people and there were lots of rows of chairs, even though it only seemed like a short journey, but to make that journey from being welcomed Who's ever gone into a church for the first time or a big event and made for the front row? I'm not talking about concerts or gigs. Where do you normally position yourself? Right at the back, don't you? And even that little journey can be quite difficult for some people. So we do all that we can. It's even less here at the Journey, isn't it? You can see the journey from the front, the back row to the front door is very little. But it's all about the welcome. Saint Benedict says this about welcome. This is really deep. So I'm taking time to articulate these little things, because when we come to that pause moment to write things down, it might stir things. He says, our guests represent Jesus, and they have a claim on the welcome and care of our community. His love is showered on those with whom we come into contact with. So every time somebody walks through that door for the first time, it's our opportunity to shower them with love, to make them feel in. Simple as that. It's not everybody's job, and it's not somebody's job. It's all of our jobs. Denise and I, well, I wasn't. I was sneaking off, but Denise was on welcome. And we make a determined effort to ensure that people that come here for the first time have a good welcome. If you didn't have a good welcome this morning through my wife, please speak to the leadership team. No, I'm only joking. I'm sure you had a wonderful... See, this is a community that I have difficulty. But that's what it's all about. It's welcome is so important. And one of the things I've realized about this meeting in particular, I'm going to talk a little bit as it spills out into wherever we go once we leave church on a Sunday, but you might agree with this, but I wrote this down and I think that when we meet on a Sunday, this is particularly and uniquely when we most look like and sound like Christians, people that belong to a church community. I would say particularly and uniquely. Forgive me if you act like you do here in church all the time when you're at work or at study, but I do think there is a difference for very valid reasons sometimes, because we don't want to embarrass others. Sometimes I've done it, I don't want to embarrass myself. But here, when people walk in, they should expect to see and sound and appreciate something that looks nominally Christian. So our guests represent Christ and have a claim on the welcome and care of our community. His love is showered on those with whom we come into contact with. So I'm going to pause for a moment and just ask you to start writing down in the headspace, literally, some of your thoughts about what I've just said. What it means to you here. How does it challenge your thought processes? How does it challenge your mindset about realizing that we are, particularly those that would call themselves members of the Journey, belong to the Journey, committed to the Journey, however you want to describe it, how does that make you feel? Have a little think. What we would normally do and what I would like to ordinarily do, but it's not necessarily because we don't have time, but I want this to become something that belongs to you personally, your thoughts, your understanding, whatever's been stirred up in you. So that's why I'm just leaving it in this place. I would really love to, this would be a great conversation to have in one of our forums, but for now, this is just for you to have a little explore about what has been stirred up about inclusivity in your own heart, what it means as a value for this fellowship. So the second one, and don't forget that there's something quite radical about having the mic, is that I get to speak. And I get to share some of my own impressions and thoughts. And if you've ever heard these radio stations where they say a kind of disclaimer, these aren't necessarily the thoughts of the BBC. So these are some of my thoughts, but I do think that they, and it says in our vision statement about things that have been crafted through experience of being part of this community. So a lot of what I'm sharing, I believe, has been crafted through the experience of being part of this community for a number of years. So I'm hoping that it ties in and fits well with what the Journey is all about. So the second one is, and this might be slightly more controversial, but I think it's really important that if inclusivity as anything at all, that one way that we include is it has to be about a place where people can encounter Jesus and connect with Jesus in some meaningful way. And I think that where that becomes particularly challenging, and I've been thinking about this for myself, is that you might not be in that place yourself where you've ever encountered Jesus in any way, shape or form. But for those of us that have and continue to encounter Jesus in our life because we know him and we trust him and we've come to call him friend or Lord or Saviour, whatever it is, whatever that relationship is, which is really tangible and real to us, then for those of you that that isn't a reality, it should be self-evident to you that it is to us. Does that make sense? So you should see in this room as we gather on a Sunday, people connecting with Jesus in some way. And that's not a heavy thing, and it's not a criticism, but it should be a reality. It should be a mark of who we are. And it's sometimes expressed in different ways. I put down that the ways in which you can see that is obviously people singing and worshipping and playing musical instruments and people praying. Not quite so much these days, but we've seen people dancing here and waving flags, and we've had all kinds of expression of, Andy's putting his hand up to that one, joyous worship. But there's a little nuanced ways in which you can see people connecting with God. People sitting in silence, in reflection, perhaps just doodling little things, immersed in God in a different way. So for those of you that aren't familiar with that, if you were to look around and have another opportunity to come in with fresh eyes, you would understand that although it's not self-evident, there are people connecting with God all the time. And that's part of our responsibility. That's one of our values, that we don't make people feel that that's a weird thing, that they don't feel excluded because they're not doing it, because we don't make judgments. We don't make judgments on one another if somebody's sitting in silence or whether they're dancing around the room waving a massive banner. Just because that person's waving a massive banner running around the room doesn't mean they're having any lesser profound experience with God than somebody sitting in silence. Does that make sense? So in the same way, we don't judge one another. And for our guests today, we certainly wouldn't judge you. So you come as you are, and we want you to just be. But my desire is that eventually, somehow, some way, in your own time, that the more time that you spend with us, the more time you'll be interested in understanding a little bit more about who this Jesus is that we find so real. Does that make sense? So there's something challenging in our value of being inclusive, that the more time you spend with us, hopefully the more time you'll see Jesus. Fact? It's got to be real, hasn't it? And even, dare I say it, that over that time, that you will hear people talk and you'll hear people express real passion and real compassion, and you'll hear stories of people whose lives have been changed and people who talk in a way that you think, wow, you know, to that person, this Jesus is really real. I can say that because I've been there. I became a Christian when I was 28. I'm 38 now. No, sorry. I thought I'd get away with it. I can get away with other places. Anyway, a long time ago, it's almost been 30 years now since I became a Christian. So I know what that's like. And I know how wonderful it was in my early Christian experience to realize that these people that I was surrounded with were experiencing a real living God through the person of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. It was a wonderful thing to behold. It's still a mystery to me. And it still captivates me when I'm in a room of people who love Jesus to see the way that he personally interacts with each one of us wherever we're at. And even if you don't know him today, he's still choosing to sit and interact with you today. Even though you might not quite realize it, he's drawing you to himself. So the reason we invite people to church, to our fellowship, to the journey, it's because I think that we're just being good friends. Not just being good Christians. I think we're being good friends. The old story about the good friends who carried their friend who was very ill for many miles on a kind of makeshift stretcher. because they heard that Jesus was in town. And they wanted to take their friend who was ill to Jesus. What good friend wouldn't? And eventually they got to the place where Jesus was, and it was heaving. There was literally no room at the inn. You couldn't get near. So they thought the only way that we can get our friend to see Jesus was to lower him through the roof. And their roofs weren't like these. They were kind of open, partially closed. And you could imagine the surprise of everybody is that all of a sudden they start to feel things falling from the roof and these faces peering down at them. And slowly they lower their friend into the midst of Jesus. And it was there that he could receive comfort and healing and forgiveness. I invite my friends to be part of what we do here is because I want you to experience that. Something radical might happen that day where you experience it in the same day. But I'm hoping that as you spend time with us, as we demonstrate that value of inclusivity, that you will say, I want to come back here. I know some of the things they're doing still a little bit freaky, a little bit weird. Yeah, but Andy's going away for a few, and I'm only joking. Boom. No. But that's the thing, isn't it? I remember going out of an exclusively Catholic church background where there was no real call on me personally to do anything with what I was hearing, and walking into a kind of charismatic Pentecostal church where people were born again, and I couldn't believe what was going on. But it didn't scare me because the people loved me and welcomed me so much that I couldn't wait to go back next week to get more love and welcome. It's dead simple, isn't it? I couldn't wait to go back in spite of some of the concerns I had, some of the things that I thought were a little bit scary. I still couldn't wait to go back to get loved. Who wouldn't want that? To find a place each week where they could go back and get loved on, you know, without any sets of criteria or parameters or boundaries. Yeah. We invite our friends and loved ones and welcome the same way that Jesus invited us, as we're talking about in Romans. Jesus said this to us. He speaks it again afresh to us. While we were still strangers, before we even knew him, he said this. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Pause again and start to fill in the little blank space where the heart is. What's your heart saying to you about what I've just been sharing? Just for a couple of minutes. And in demonstrating this value, I believe that this is the place, particularly for those of us that know and love Jesus and have made that commitment to be part of a loving church family like the Journey is, that this is a place where we exclusively put ourselves, as Richard says famously, and I thank him for that, on receive mode. This is a place where we come to be on receive and to be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and what God might say to us for our own benefit, but what he might have to say to somebody else. I love one of the marks of the Journey. What I love is that while we're still doing all the things that we need to do, which are notices or whatever's going on, whether we're worshipping, there are still people wandering around, taking what was dropped into their heart and passing it on to somebody else's heart, just praying for them, being on receive mode. And I think that we demonstrate that we are inclusive by not excluding people from what's going on. And believe me, this is not meant to make any of our guests or visitors this morning feel scared. But I like to think that when you're part of the Journey, you're as likely to get a prophetic word or a word of encouragement as anybody else. You're not excluded from that. We don't water it down. You know, there are people here that are bold enough to meet you for the first time, to receive something from God that they think would be good for you to hear and tell you it. It's a bit scary though, isn't it? If you've never been in that environment and somebody starts talking to you like that. But I think that we demonstrate that we're not being exclusive by doing that. We include you, that everything that's going on. In fact, we make a decision that as soon as you walk through the door that you are party to all that we share in, you know. We don't have I don't know enough about it, but I believe in the old Anglican churches, forgive me if it's wrong, but they used to have pews and booths that people used to pay for to have on their own. So families could come to church and still be separate. This isn't what this family's about. Come through the door. You don't have to pay anybody anything to be part of what we do. You just come and be. And illustrate that in 2 Timothy. There's a verse that says this. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. And I love that little verse because it flips from talking about ordinary everyday items to who we are in Christ in our identity, that we become honourable vessels, useful to God. We might have felt useless before, but when, sorry, gets me, but we are now useful to God when we were useless before. I mean, that touches me because I know what that means. So we've established that the vessels are figurative, but they represent us as human beings. Wherever we're at, wherever we come through that door, they represent us, and particularly those of us that choose to call ourselves Christians. As we do, as we demonstrate that we're willing to receive from God, willing to tune into what he wants to say to anybody or everybody, then we demonstrate that we're of great value and worth to him, because we are intrinsically of great value and worth to him. Before we even open our mouths or even do anything, we are of great value and worth to God. Before we do anything. But there's something special about choosing to participate with God in a way that blesses and encourages somebody else. So that's the bit that spills out to wherever we go. Whoever we talk to, whether we're at work, whether at college or university, whether at home, whether with other mums, that's the place where who we are spills out. It's really powerful. We partner with God. And just as I kind of close, we demonstrate the loving value of inclusivity by remembering our own chains, remembering where we came from. I mean, this is really powerful to me. It really speaks to me because there's a passage in the Bible from Philemon, and there's a story about Paul when he was in prison, who comes across a slave who had a particular name that we don't know. But he had a name. But when he came to Christ, when he came to faith, his name was changed. And his old name used to articulate how corrupt and how vile he was. He'd run away from his master, and in doing so, he took all the master's valuables. He'd legged it with as much valuable stuff as he could. And eventually, he finds himself in prison. His life is in ruins. He's at rock bottom. And then Paul comes across this slave, and he starts to speak to him. And he's, I'm making a presumption there. Perhaps I like to think that Paul started to demonstrate something loving about the grace of God. So here was Paul in prison, but he still was totally in love with God, bound in chains, no real hope of any escape from that place, yet he's still fully in love with God. And through that demonstration of who he was able to encourage this slave to participate in this journey of faith and become a Christian. And the part that gets me is this, that it then transpires that this slave, the owner of this slave, is known to Paul, a man called Philemon, who Paul knows well. And they work together in terms of preaching the gospel and sharing the faith and spreading it throughout the region they live in. And then Paul writes to him about this slave. He writes to his friend, and I think these verses are beautiful. He says, "Now I want to ask a favor of you. In fact, I could demand it of you in the name of Christ because it's the right thing for you to do. But I love you and I prefer to ask you. I, Paul, an old man now, here in jail for the sake of Jesus Christ, my plea is that you show kindness to my son Onesimus, whom I won to the Lord while here in chains. Onesimus, whose name now means useful, hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he's going to be of real use to you and me. I'm sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart." It's beautiful, isn't it? The apostle wrote, "He who was formerly useless to you is now useful to both of us because he's found his use, his purpose, his destiny, and his identity in Jesus Christ." And I just want to speak over any person here, wherever you're at, in a spirit of welcome and inclusivity, that Jesus said to you that if you think that you are useless in some area because of some indiscretion or some way of life or something that's happened in the past, I speak it over you now, that Jesus says that you are useful. You are useful. You have value, you have worth, you have identity. So pause now, and this is more about the hands, about acts of service, about how we demonstrate this in a practical way. As I spoke about Onesimus and about participating practically with Jesus, just write some thoughts down about what it means to you in terms of the open hands. So, just wrapping up, I've particularly chosen to base this talk on inclusivity, about meeting here. Because I know there are other expressions of how we meet, but there's something particular and unique about being inclusive in the context of meeting as a church family. Because we can invite people to our houses, which I've done. We've had people that we invite to our house because we've become friends with them. And even within that, we don't stop being who we are as followers of Jesus. But it's easier to be more inclusive in your own home. There's something which is slightly more complicated and difficult to achieve inclusivity or to make people feel included when it's a bigger group. So I hope you'll understand why I've gone for the general context of how we can demonstrate that here, particularly when we meet on a Sunday. Because you see, our gathering together is absolutely vital. It's not just good for us, it's good for others. Yeah? And we absolutely and definitely need each other to help one another along in our journey, to grow together, and for each one of us to become better versions of ourselves, as Vicky said last week, to reach our God-given potential. to no longer consider ourselves useless, but to realize that we've become infinitely useful to one another in so many different ways that I can't even begin to list or articulate this morning. So in closing, we as a journey together, we do so welcoming and accepting all, wherever they are at on their journey, and we create space to allow them just to be. And through friendship and God's grace working in us and through us, we help one another through the tough challenges, difficulties and questions in life. I thank each person that's done that for me over the years here. I've worked through some tough questions and some difficult challenges, but there have been real people that have sat with me and laughed and cried as I worked that out. And I know that's been the same for a number of you here as well. And that continues to be what we are about. So the story of the friends who carried their friends to Jesus, they carried their friend to Jesus, it started this way. If you look at the Bible story and look, it started. Now it happened on a certain day. One day, might even have happened this morning, but I know it does happen. It happens in churches. One day, somebody will walk through this door that we don't know anything about. It happened on a certain day. So every time that we greet somebody, even as Molly says, it's like entertaining angels. It really is. It's a beautiful scripture that when we're told that we might entertain angels unawares, every time somebody comes in that we don't know, this is their journey beginning. And as we welcome them and as we walk with them, it might just come to that place that for themselves, they'll find comfort and hope and love and real peace in Jesus Christ. But we don't hurry that along. That's not what the journey is about. It's a journey. That's what we do. We walk with one another. And when that happy day comes, if they are ready to receive Christ, then we all rejoice. If they don't, that's not what the end goal really is about. I know that might break some people's theological hearts, but the reality is that what we've done is we've helped them along a bit in their journey. So even to go from here to somewhere else, we've just planted more seed into good ground, hopefully. But the desire is that every person that belongs to this fellowship will have an experience of the love and kindness of who Jesus is. So that's my time. And now it's your time. Let's stand and pray as we close. Father, I just pray that as we have thought about and considered and weighed up our own hearts and asked you to fill our hands, that we would contemplate more in the days and the weeks and the months ahead what it is to have our heads and our hearts and our hands totally full of your love and kindness and peace and hope and grace and everything that you pour into us. Father, we make a commitment and we make it our desire as a fellowship here for each one of us that we would say to you that you would prove that we are no longer useless but useful to you. So we empty ourselves in that figurative way of being vessels. We choose to be clean. We choose to be empty. We choose to be available vessels. Nobody will go to pick up a cup that's right at the back of the room. They'll go to the first cup. In the same way, Lord, I pray that you will find us readily available to be your head and your heart and your hands to those that need Jesus. And for the rest of this day, we just say to each one of us, welcome, Jesus loves you, and have an amazing week. Amen.